It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Thursday morning to you. I hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. And shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right. We got the answer that we were all searching for. But it wasn't exactly because of the reason we all thought. What am I talking about? There has been a stir. There's been news about Justin Fields unfollowing the Chicago Bears on social media, on Instagram to be more specific. Well, he was on the St. Brown's podcast. Again, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Equimenius St. Brown, the brothers. They have a podcast called the St. Brown's Podcast. And Justin Fields was a guest on there. They asked him. They didn't pull any punches. They got to the bottom of what everybody was trying to hear. And they even did a good job promoting it. Teaser. To promote the pod, they had him. They asked the question and they cut it off after Justin Fields said, "Man, I'm glad you asked that." So we finally got the rest of that answer yesterday when the full episode dropped as to why Justin Fields unfollowed the Chicago Bears. What did he say? Here it is.
I mean, No.
Since we're here.
All right, come on.
What's with the unfollow with the Bears? What's up with that?
Man, bro, I'm glad we're talking about it because why do people take social media so serious? Like,
but like, why are you unfollowing the Bears?
Like, I still mess with the Bears. It's not, I'm just trying to take a little break. I unfollow the Bears and the NFL, bro. I'm not just trying to have football on my timeline. Mm. Like, I know y'all mess with a girl, EQ, especially you. Just because you don't follow the girl on IG don't mean you're not messing with her.
That's true. You know? That's true. That's facts. That's facts.
Oh, so you're saying you mess with the Bears more now that you unfollow them?
Man, it's not even like that.
Okay.
It's something that I don't want to see in my timeline. I'm about to go on vacation. I don't want to see no football. And guess
just,
what?
Just get away. Get a little away for a little bit.
It's either Keith Fields. We want Fields. See the draft Caleb. So it's like, bruh, man, I'm tired of hearing the talk. I just want it to be over.
He's tired of hearing the talk. He just wants to be over. He's tired of seeing the Keith Fields, should they trade Fields, draft Caleb Williams? He's tired of seeing all that propaganda on social media. He's tired of seeing the talk. And he just wanted to cleanse his timeline and get all that talk and noise and negative energy off his timeline. Because that's all he would see, which is understandable because if you're following the Bears, obviously you have a certain algorithm. If you're following the NFL, you're going to have a certain algorithm on your timeline and you get content like that. And he was tired of seeing that content. And I do not blame him at all. So, like you heard him say, he still mess with the Bears. He still rocks with the Bears. There's no beef. He didn't unfollow him because he wants to be traded. He didn't unfollow him because he feels like they're doing him dirty. None of that. He just was tired of seeing the outside noise. Wanted to get rid of it. He's about to go on vacay, take some valuable time off, get his mind right, and that's it. That's all there is to it. So, Justin Fields, again, he doesn't want to trade. He's not demanding a trade. He didn't unfollow the Bears because he's unhappy. Simply did it to clear his timeline because he's tired of seeing the noise. And if I was him, I would too. That stuff can get to you. It can eat at you. It can affect your mental health. It can affect your well-being for sure. So I am not mad at Justin Fields at all for giving the reason that he did for following the Chicago Bears on Instagram. And he, like you said, he unfollowed the NFL too. So there you have it. All right. Let's dive deeper into this because that wasn't the only thing he talked about on the St. Brown's podcast. They also asked him about his thoughts on the Atlanta Falcons. How does he feel about the team? How does he feel about some of the personnel? Justin Fields, how do you feel about the Falcons, my good sir?
Atlanta would be tough. The only con of going back home is just people hitting my phone crazy.
Yeah.
You know, wanting tickets to the game. But, I mean, yeah. I think they got a lot of playmakers on the team. And, of course, Bijan. They got my boy Kyle. And then, of course, Drake, too. They probably need one more receiver. But they definitely got some guys over there.
Justin Fields, know we got some weapons. Mentions Bijan Robinson has got Kyle Pitts, Drake London, who he follows on Instagram. We'll get to that here in just a second. But says they need one more receiver. But he is definitely, you know, he wouldn't mind going back home, as you heard him say. But he doesn't want everybody blowing up his phone about tickets. Which, hey, I can't blame him too, because you go back home, old friends who, you know, maybe you've tried to distance yourself from, they come at you in the DMs. Hey, bro. What's up, bro? I see you've been balling, bro. Keep doing your thing, bro. Hey, by the way, congrats on the new gig with the Falcons. I want to come watch you play, bro. You got any tickets? You know that's how the homeboy's going to do them, too. I'm like, man, this sorry sap sucker don't get out my DMs. So, like you heard him say, it'll be tough for him to go back home only because he don't want people blowing up his phone 24/7 trying to get some tickets. So he's open to the idea of going to Atlanta. And at the end of the day, he knows that this is really not his decision. But before we get into the Drake London cut, I want to get to actually this one first, because he talked about wanting to stay in Chicago. But like I just said, he knows that's not his decision. He knows he doesn't have any input on that. But he did say, again, on the St. Brown's podcast with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Equanimeous St. Brown, he did say that he does wish to stay in Chicago. And if he had it his way, he would still be in Chicago next season.
If it was up to me, I would want to stay in Chicago. I love the city. The city's lit. The fans there, you know, they're great. Mm-hmm. And the people. But it's a business. I ain't got no control over it. So whatever happens, happens. But I feel like the biggest thing with all this going on right now, I just want it to be over. Like, just let me know if I'm getting traded. Let me know if I'm staying. It's an act.
Yeah. I have no issues, no qualms with what Justin Fields has had to say. He just wants to know, am I going to be in Chicago? Am I getting traded? Just let me know. That way I can make the adjustment or understand and know that I'm staying with my team. Just let me know. He just wants closure at this point. He just wants to know what's going to happen. He wants to know what's going on. He wants to know if he's staying or going. And he wants this whole thing, all this speculation about, are the Bears going to draft Caleb Williams? Are they going to trade Justin Fields? He wants all that speculation to be over. And I do not doubt him at, and I do not blame him at all for wanting that. Tired of the speculation. That's why he had to unfollow the Bears in the NFL on social media. He kept seeing all the talk, kept seeing all the noise, kept seeing people keep giving their takes on whether or not the Bears should trade him to draft Caleb Williams or keep him. So he just wants it all to be over. He just wants himself some closure. All right, as promised, he talked about why he follows Drake London on social media as well, you know? Is it because he knows he's going to the Falcons and he wants to make that early on connection with Drake London? And also, by the way, too, apparently he follows Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts on social media as well. But what's the reason for you following Drake London, Justin Fields? Is it because you know you're coming to Atlanta, you want to make a relationship with your number one route receiver?
Drake London, my teammate. What's up with that?
What you mean? What's up with that? I follow you.
You know Drake? You don't follow me. But you know Drake?
I'll follow you after this. But nah, not for real. I mean, we played against him, you know, these past 2 years, but I don't know
right. him like that.
Hmm. I've been following for a minute, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's my dog. I just know he's on the Falcons.
Man, they trying to get down to the nitty gritty. Hey, what's up with you following Drake London? You don't follow me? Why you follow Drake? Justin was like, I'll follow you after this. Don't worry about it. That was Amon-Ra, I believe, speaking there. So he's like, man, I've been following him for a minute. You know, he talked about Drake being his guy. And obviously Amon-Ra played with Drake London at USC, I believe it was. So nothing crazy to it. He just is a fan of Drake London. He's been following him for a minute. Maybe is there something more there that you could really try to dig into? Maybe, possibly, but doesn't seem like anything is really there. He has unfollowed the Bears because of, again, he doesn't want to see all the noise, hear all the talk, see all the propaganda. He likes the Falcons, but you heard him say he would rather stay in Chicago. So, Justin Fields on the St. Browns podcast, making it all clear. He wants to stay in Chicago, but whatever happens, happens. He just wants some closure, and there's no beef with the Bears at all. So it was, look, it's good to hear from these guys, and good fun to hear them express their opinions. And you hear what he thinks about the Falcons. He likes the weapons they have, but he, you know, doesn't want to go home because he doesn't want to deal with everybody asking for tickets. So that obviously the latest, and that was a big story yesterday, all that audio coming out and us finding what's really what when it comes to Justin Fields' relationship with the Bears and where he wants to end up and his next steps as a NFL quarterback. So there you have it. There is Justin Fields giving you the tea that wasn't really any tea, but they did a good job of promoting. I know that podcast got views on views on views. So there you go. All right. When we come back, about 5-6 minutes from now, J.J. McCarthy. How you feel about him? I don't personally want him here. Not to say I don't think he will be a good quarterback or anything like that, but a certain NFL insider, certain guy who is well-respected around the NFL, he came out with his second mock draft, and he has J.J. McCarthy going to the Falcons. But that's not the big story. The big reasoning that I want you to hear from this certain insider is why he has the Falcons drafting J.J. McCarthy. Give me 5 minutes. We'll talk about it right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my People already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Hope you all are doing well on a Thursday. And look, the talk about what the Falcons are going to do with the number 8 overall pick. Are they going to stand pat? Are they going to trade up? That's going to continue to be the talk of the town, including what they're going to do at quarterback. It all ties in. But Daniel Jeremiah obviously works for NFL media. He put out his second mock draft, and he was on the, or he actually is the host of the Move the Sticks podcast, and he explained why he had J.J. McCarthy going to the Falcons at 8 in his latest mock draft. And it's not the fact that Daniel had J.J. at 8 to me. It was his reasoning why, and I'm going to paraphrase here. He was basically saying that he is getting some inside knowledge of the Falcons wanting to go young when it comes to the quarterback position. I found that really interesting because, look, if that's an inkling on what way the Falcons are going and what way the Falcons are feeling they're going to move towards when it comes to the quarterback position, that is really, really interesting if they're moving towards young. Now, again, I would not want J.J. McCarthy. I think he's a little bit more of a project, and I'm not sure I'll be sold on the fact that J.J. McCarthy is the Falcons guy. But again, he doesn't do trades in these mock drafts that he does, so maybe he thinks the Falcons could potentially trade up to the number 3 pick and get a Jaden Daniels, or maybe they even move up to get a Drake May or a Caleb Williams or something like that. But he doesn't do trades, so we kept the Falcons at 8. And I'll actually go ahead and give you a rundown of what he had in his first couple of picks. So, first overall, he obviously had Caleb Williams going to the Chicago Bears. Number 2, he has the Washington Commanders getting Drake May. Number 3, he actually has the New England Patriots drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. Number 4, he has the Cardinals going to, or he has the Cardinals selecting Malik Nabers, the LSU wide receiver. And number 5, he has Notre Dame offensive tackle Joe Alt going to the Los Angeles Chargers at 5. At number 6, he has the Giants drafting Jaden Daniels. So I guess, you know, maybe they're going to move on from Daniel Jones in this scenario, but he has Jaden Daniels going 6th. At number 7, he has the Titans drafting Olumuwa Fashanu, the Penn State offensive tackle. And then, as I told you, at number 8, he has the Falcons drafting J.J. McCarthy. And a little blurb that he says, quote, a lot of people around the NFL expect the Falcons to be aggressive when it comes to finding a quarterback in this year's draft. They could trade up. Again, he doesn't do trade, so he does acknowledge the fact they could trade up. They could trade up, as they do in this case, stay at number 8 and bet on McCarthy's traits. So I'm not sure they're going to bet on McCarthy's traits when it actually comes to the draft and who they're going to select. But again, him talking about he thinks the Falcons might go young when it comes to quarterback, it says a lot, because if they are willing to go young, that narrows down the options for the Falcons a little bit. At that point, it's either they want to go young, trade for Justin Fields, or you go draft one of these guys. And if that's the case, I would just move up, go get Jaden Daniels, and call it a day. Get your quarterback, get your guy, and then fill in holes with free agency. Go get him another wide receiver. Go continue to get some more good defensive pieces. Maybe go get an edge rusher, since you're not going to draft one of the main edge rushers in your draft. So I just found it very interesting that Daniel Jeremiah believes that the Falcons could go young and move towards getting a young guy when it comes to the quarterback position. So we will see what happens with that. But Again, I'm not sold on J.J. McCarthy. It's not the fact that I don't think he could be a good player. I think the potential is definitely there. I mean, you heard Jim Harbaugh call him, you know, Michael Jordan, or compare him to Michael Jordan, that is. And again, I think part of that was he was hyping up his guy at the time. But I don't see it. And if there's any Michael Jordan in this draft, I'm not quite sure it's J.J. McCarthy. If it's anything, it could be possibly a Caleb Williams or a Jaden Daniels. But could be wrong. We'll see. And we'll see how that all plays out. I do want to get to a little college football news here. Bear Salee, he's the host of the Covered and Smothered College Football podcast. Very good podcast. And he gave his predictions for who he thinks is going to make the college football playoff next year in this new 12-team format. And I'm going to run you down these 12 teams that he predicted thus far, or for next year's college football playoff. At number one, no surprise, he has the University of Georgia. Shout out to Bear. I believe he's a local guy. So shout out to Bear Salee. Has Georgia at number one, has Ohio State at number two, Clemson at number three, thinks Clemson gets back to form, and I guess he has them winning the ACC as well. At number four is pretty interesting. He has Oklahoma State going up and getting that number four spot, I guess winning the Big 12. So he has Georgia probably as SEC champions, Ohio State as Big Ten champions, Clemson as ACC champions, and Oklahoma State as Big 12 champions. Oklahoma State coming in there, makes a surprise. They had a good season last year. I mean, I would not necessarily be surprised at Oklahoma State making that jump. Got a lot of good talent coming back. So, Bear Salee telling us, hey, watch out for Oklahoma State. Texas coming in at number five. Oregon at number six. Notre Dame at number seven. Alabama at eight. So, they'll still be in the mix, of course, with Kalen DeBoer at the helm now. Utah at number nine. Ole Miss at 10, Michigan at 11, Tulane, the Fighting Steak Shapiros at 12. So, very interesting top 12 and first top 12 for the college football playoff era. So, look, you get a Tulane in there, Oklahoma State in there, a little bit of new blood. Utah gets in there as well. Utah's been competitive, though, these past few years for the most part, so wouldn't be too surprised at that, but all that's pretty interesting. You know, you get Tulane, Oklahoma State, and then look, that will be the exciting part of this new college football playoff format. Obviously, you get the four big fours. There's not really a power five anymore because the Pac-12 has gone kind of, but you get the power four conferences in the SEC, ACC, Big 10, Big 12. You get those conference champions automatically. Then it's going to be the next highest ranked group of five conference champion. So again, could be the Pac-12, Mountain West, could be the Conference USA, could be the Sun Belt. I saw him there as well. So could be any one of those conference champions, depending on how they're ranked. And then the next highest ranked teams after that, and it's going to be fun because we will see teams like Utah in the mix. We will see teams like Oklahoma State in the mix. We will see teams like Tulane in the mix. So it's going to be very, very fun. Look, I don't know how many upsets we'll get early on, but I mean, there will probably be some upsets. Now, if we do get any upsets early on, it'll probably be between the Power Four schools. It'll probably be, you know, between a Oklahoma State and a Alabama, or a Oklahoma State and a Clemson, or a Texas and an Ohio State type of deal. Like, you know, games that'll be a little bit more competitive that, you know, that are fringe upsets. So we will see what all happens there. But he's got, again, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma State, Texas, Oregon, Notre Dame, Alabama, Utah, Ole Miss, Michigan, and Tulane as his first top 12 teams to make the college football playoff for next year. Again, that's Bear Salee, host of the Smothered and Covered podcast. He put that out a couple of days ago. So one thing I want to get to NFL news-wise as we're jumping around here a little bit. Apparently, the salary cap for the NFL expected to be in the range of $250 million per NBC. Now, why is that important? You're like, Dylan, the salary cap goes up every year. Yeah, it does, but that's a significant increase from last year's salary cap, which was $224.8 million. That is a little over $25 million jump in the salary cap. So, look, I'm all for it. Let the Falcons have even more cap space. Let them be competitive and go get hopefully even more guys in free agency to boost up this team. So I'm all for the salary cap going up. And look, at this point, the NFL is king. The salary cap is going to go up every single year with these new TV deals, these new media rights deals. The salary cap is going to find itself going up every single season like it has. The only year the salary cap has gone down is because of the COVID year. It's the only time the salary cap has gone down. Other than that, the salary cap has gone up every single year for I don't even know how long, probably before I was even watching the NFL for real. So, again, per NBC, the salary cap is supposed to go up from $224.8 million that it was at last year. It's supposed to go up almost, or actually a little over $25 million. The salary cap expected to be in the range of $250 million for the NFL this year. So that is big, big stuff, and that is a big jump. And look, again, it's going to help the Falcons be even more competitive in free agency, give them even more cap space, hopefully plug more holes as far as free agency goes, and continue to make this a competitive team. Because again, if you're going to draft a quarterback, if you're going to trade up, you're going to have to give up some draft assets to go get a guy like Jaden Daniels. If you do decide to move up, you're going to want to go get another edge rusher, I would guess. You want to bring some of probably these other guys back, you know, that are free agents. And we'll continue to look at that as free agency draws closer, under a month away until free agency starts. Legal tampering again starts on March 11th. Actual free agency where guys can actually start to sign deals starts on March 13th. So, look, again, if you're going to trade draft assets, trade up, go get your quarterback, which, again, I am all for. Go get your guy. Don't settle at the quarterback position. But you're going to have to use free agency to fill the rest of these holes when it comes to maybe a receiver, defense, edge rusher. Maybe go get another corner. Who knows? But you're going to have to do some work in free agency if you're going to move up in the draft to draft a quarterback, because you're going to have to give up draft assets. So salary cap going to move up, and that is good news for all parties involved when it comes to the 32 NFL teams. All right, when we come back, there's a new app out there from your favorite phone provider, and we will talk about what that looks like. Also, the Atlanta Hawks, they're back in action tomorrow. NBA All-Star break ends today. Teams get back in action today. Like I said, Hawks back in action tomorrow. What do they have to do to somewhat salvage this season and get back to maybe the 7th, 8th seed? I don't know. We'll try and find out how we fix the Hawks. We'll let you hear from Quinn Snyder. He joined the Steakhouse yesterday as well. We'll let you hear a little bit of what he had to say. All that coming up 5 minutes from now on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning. Hope you all doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. And I hope you all are doing well here on a Thursday. So, want to get into this while we still have a few minutes here. Apple has launched their very own sports app. That is right. You heard that correctly. Apple launching their very own sports app. They're going to have live updates. They're going to have betting odds. I mean, they're just getting into all sorts of avenues and things of that nature. So I found that to be pretty interesting. I wonder, like, if people will just start using that, because obviously now we use our own, like, ESPN apps. We go to different betting sites for betting. And Apple is trying to persuade you to just use the Apple Sports app to get all your stuff there. So I'm wondering how many people are going to download this app. It is available to download as of yesterday, as a matter of fact. So again, it'll have live betting odds. It'll update scores for you. So it's just kind of going to be your all-in-one type of sports app is what it's looking at. So I found that to be very interesting. So I wanted to give you that piece of news real quickly here. But the Atlanta Hawks are going to be back in action tomorrow. They're going to take on the Toronto Raptors. And it's going to be right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, where you can hear every single Atlanta Hawks game. Pre-game at 7, tip at 7:30. And look, when it comes to the Hawks, they have to find a way to just consistently get stops. They have to find a way to just stay healthy to Onyeka Okongwu and Clint Capella being out the last couple of games before the All-Star break definitely hurt them. But at the end of the day, it's about showing effort on defense. It's about beating the teams you're supposed to beat, not getting beat by 23 points by the Charlotte Hornets right before you go on the All-Star break. It's about taking care of business at home. And at this point, you're going to have to try and get some wins that you are not going to be favored in. So it's going to be tough sledding for the Hawks, but if they can do something to find a way to move up just a couple of spots, like if they can get to that 7-8 game, even as the 8 seed, being on the road. I mean, they were in that position last year, made it to the 8 seed, had to take on the Miami Heat on the road in Miami, found a way to win, got the 7 seed. Only had to play one of the playing games instead of playing all of them. So if they can find a way to just get some sort of momentum here in this last stretch of the season, move up a couple of spots, feel a little bit better about themselves, and then get into the dance, get into the playoffs, anything can happen at that point. So the Hawks will be at home, by the way, tomorrow when they take on the Raptors. Then they got the Magic at home, the Jazz at home. So starting off post All-Star break with a 3-game homestand, it's good. You got a little runway to get yourself some momentum. You should be able to beat the Raptors. The Magic are a good team, but look, being at home, you can take down the Magic. You've beaten them once already this year. Should be able to beat the Jazz. John Collins coming back to the ATL. I'm sure it'll be emotional. I'm sure there'll be a tribute video. But look, got to find a way to win that game. Then you got the Brooklyn Nets. They're behind, right behind you in the standings too. Got to find a way to take care of them on the road. So these first four games to start post All-Star break and to close out February, all winnable games. They should at least go 3-1. If you lose to the Magic, I understand the Magic are a better team. I get it. But that game, with that game being at home, feel like you should really win that game. This is a very, very opportune spot for the Hawks to have a runway, start off post All-Star break going 4-0, and make some things happen. So that's what they have for the rest of February. Again, they got the Raptors at home tomorrow, Magic at home on Sunday, Jazz at home on Tuesday. Then they go on the road, take on Brooklyn a week from today. Then they'll start their slew of March games. And even then, you got the Nets again. That should be a winnable game. The Knicks are a good team, so I don't know about that. But then you got the Cavs, tough game. Grizzlies on March 8th on the road. Be a toughish game, but that's definitely a more winnable game. So, again, look, you take care, you focus on these first four. Take care of the first four. Go undefeated the rest of February here, and you get some momentum, and we'll see how the rest shapes out. But obviously going to need Onyeka and Clint back because, again, no shade to Bruno Fernando, but dude is not supposed to be a starting center in the NBA. He's an okay bench piece, but he is definitely not supposed to be starting. So Hawks got to get healthy, got to find a way to consistently get stops. And if they can do that, then maybe they can move up a little bit in the standings. Speaking of which, I will, while we're talking about it, give you the standings before we continue post All-Star break started. So right now, you're two games behind the Chicago Bulls for ninth. You're actually, that Orlando game is actually going to be pretty big. You're six games behind Orlando for that A spot. And you're actually six games out of seventh because Miami and Orlando both are at 30 and 25. So you can find a way to, beat Orlando at home, find a way to get a game up on them. We'll see what happens. So let you know that I told you that I was going to let you hear from Quinn Snyder. He joined the Steakhouse yesterday, and he was talking about how really they just got to go out there and compete, which is true. And again, when we talk about competing, that's give an effort, make an effort on defense, a consistent effort on defense. Because at the end of the day, whether they've had some offensive struggles at times or not, offense has really never been, and I've said this plenty of times, offense has never really been their issue this whole season. It's always you score 125, but you give up 132. You score 115, but you give up 120. Like, offense has not been their problem. It's been the defensive side. And so when you talk about going out to compete, that's part of it, going out and giving your best effort on defense. So let's hear Quinn Snyder on the Steakhouse yesterday talking about how the guys got to go out there and compete.
I hope we're healthy. You know, I hope Onyeka, his toe is better. I think Clint will be back. We've really struggled to be healthy across the front line, and I think that impacts us in some significant ways. That said, you know, and I always try to make sure I'm clarifying this because you can't use injury as an excuse. I think you have to understand injury as a reality. But hey, let's control the things that we can control. Meaning, you know, we have to consistently compete. Like, it's just not, we have to have non-negotiables about how we play. And that level of competitiveness throughout the course of a game.
There you have it. So, got to have a certain level of competitiveness throughout the game. And, again, to me, that's really a note to got to play defense for full 48. No exceptions, no questions, no debate about it. All right, when we come back, we'll see what's up on a Thursday edition of The Morning Shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson, we'll see what they got coming up on a Thursday edition of The Morning Shift, and we'll wrap things up on the Hometown Take right after this on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning. Hope you all doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. And I hope you all are doing well here on a Thursday. So, want to get into this while we still have a few minutes here. Apple has launched their very own sports app. That is right. You heard that correctly. Apple launching their very own sports app. They're going to have live updates. They're going to have betting odds. I mean, they're just getting into all sorts of avenues and things of that nature. So I found that to be pretty interesting. I wonder, like, if people will just start using that, because obviously now we use our own, like, ESPN apps. We go to different betting sites for betting. And Apple's trying to persuade you to just use the Apple Sports app to get all your stuff there. So I'm wondering how many people are going to download this app. It is available to download as of yesterday, as a matter of fact. So again, it'll have live betting odds. It'll update scores for you. So it's just kind of going to be your all-in-one type of sports app is what it's looking at. So I found that to be very interesting. So I wanted to give you that piece of news real quickly here. But the Atlanta Hawks are going to be back in action tomorrow. They're going to take on the Toronto Raptors. And it's going to be right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, where you can hear every single Atlanta Hawks game. Pre-game at 7, tip at 7:30. And look, when it comes to the Hawks, they have to find a way to just consistently get stops. They have to find a way to just stay healthy to Onyeka Okongwu and Clint Capella being out the last couple of games before the All-Star break definitely hurt them. But at the end of the day, it's about showing effort on defense. It's about beating the teams you're supposed to beat, not getting beat by 22 points, 23 points by the Charlotte Hornets right before you go on the All-Star break. It's about taking care of business at home. And at this point, you're going to have to try and get some wins that you are not going to be favored in. So it's going to be tough sledding for the Hawks, but if they can do something to find a way to move up just a couple of spots, like if they can get to that 7-8 game, even as the 8 seed, being on the road. I mean, they were in that position last year. Made it to the 8 seed, had to take on the Miami Heat on the road in Miami, found a way to win, got the 7 seed. Only had to play one of the playing games instead of playing all of them. So if they can find a way to just get some sort of momentum here in this last stretch of the season, move up a couple of spots, feel a little bit better about themselves, and then get into the dance, get into the playoffs, anything can happen at that point. So the Hawks will be at home, by the way, tomorrow when they take on the Raptors. Then they got the Magic at home, the Jazz at home. So starting off post All-Star break with a 3-game homestand, it's good. You got a little runway to get yourself some momentum. You should be able to beat the Raptors. The Magic are a good team, but look, being at home, you can take down the Magic. You've beaten them once already this year. Should be able to beat the Jazz. John Collins coming back to the ATL. I'm sure it'll be emotional. I'm sure there'll be a tribute video. But look, got to find a way to win that game. Then you got the Brooklyn Nets. They're behind, right behind you in the standings too. Got to find a way to take care of them on the road. So these first four games to start post All-Star break and to close out February, all winnable games. They should at least go 3-1. If you lose to the Magic, I understand the Magic are a better team. I get it. But that game, with that game being at home, feel like you should really win that game. This is a very, very opportune spot for the Hawks to have a runway, start off post All-Star break going 4-0, and make some things happen. So that's what they have for the rest of February. Again, they got the Raptors at home tomorrow, Magic at home on Sunday, Jazz at home on Tuesday. Then they go on the road, take on Brooklyn a week from today. Then they'll start their slew of March games. And even then, you got the Nets again. That should be a winnable game. The Knicks are a good team, so I don't know about that. But then you got the Cavs, tough game. Grizzlies on March 8th on the road. Be a tough-ish game, but that's definitely a more winnable game. So, again, look, you take care, you focus on these first four. Take care of the first four. Go undefeated the rest of February here, and you get some momentum, and we'll see how the rest shapes out. But obviously going to need Onyeka and Clint back because, again, no shade to Bruno Fernando, but dude is not supposed to be a starting center in the NBA. He's an okay bench piece, but he is definitely not supposed to be starting. So Hawks got to get healthy, got to find a way to consistently get stops. And if they can do that, then maybe they can move up a little bit in the standings. Speaking of which, I will, while we're talking about it, give you the standings before we continue post All-Star break started. So right now, you're two games behind the Chicago Bulls for ninth. You're actually, that Orlando game is actually going to be pretty big. You're six games behind Orlando for that A spot. And you're actually six games out of seventh because Miami and Orlando both are at 30-25. So you can find a way to, beat Orlando at home, find a way to get a game up on them. We'll see what happens. So, let you know that I told you that I was going to let you hear from Quinn Snyder. He joined the Steakhouse yesterday, and he was talking about how really they just got to go out there and compete, which is true. And again, when we talk about competing, that's giving effort, making an effort on defense, a consistent effort on defense. Because at the end of the day, whether they've had some offensive struggles at times or not, offense has really never been, and I've said this plenty of times, offense has never really been their issue this whole season. It's always you score 125, but you give up 132. You score 115, but you give up 120. Like, offense has not been their problem. It's been the defensive side. And so when you talk about going out to compete, that's part of it, going out and giving your best effort on defense. So let's hear Quinn Snyder on the Steakhouse yesterday talking about how the guys got to go out there and compete.
I hope we're healthy. You know, I hope Onyeka, his toe is better. I think Clint will be back. We've really struggled to be healthy across the front line, and I think that impacts us in some significant ways. That said, you know, and I always try to make sure I'm clarifying this because you can't use injury as an excuse. I think you have to understand injury as a reality. But hey, let's control the things that we can control. Meaning, you know, we have to consistently compete. Like, it's just not, we have to have non-negotiables about how we play. And that level of competitiveness throughout the course of a game.
There you have it. So, got to have a certain level of competitiveness throughout the game. And, again, to me, that's really a note to got to play defense for full 48. No exceptions, no questions, no debate about it. All right, when we come back, we'll see what's up on a Thursday edition of The Morning Shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson, we'll see what they got coming up on a Thursday edition of The Morning Shift, and we'll wrap things up on the Hometown Take right after this on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.